when a priest or a deacon looks at the Bible readings that our Holy Mother, the Church, has given us for this Sunday, he is severely tempted to simply repeat what is apparent and try to figure out some way of repeating it for 7 minutes without putting everybody to sleep. It's obvious that the Bible readings speak about persistence in prayer. So what I want to speak about this morning is something a little more interesting. And not the idea of persistence, but I don't want you to forget that. Keep that in the back of your mind. I want to speak about how a person is persistent. In fact, how we should pray on a daily basis. What are the means that God has given us? And it's really quite a simple thing. All we need to do is to look in the book of Genesis, not in the Sodom and Gomorrah story, which we started reading today, but back in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, the last couple of verses which form the transition into the second chapter, which is what we call the second creation account. Each of us is familiar with the first creation account, you know, the let there be light type story. But this second one is in reverse order from the first. In the first creation account, the creation of man is at the bottom. In the second creation account, the creation of man is at the top. Now, these are not necessarily chronologically presented, but they are given to drive home a point. Do you remember when God creates Adam? He has all the animals of the world, they call it the parade of animals, pass in front of Adam, and Adam names each one of them. He names a lion, he names a tiger, a grizzly bear, a giraffe, a little chihuahua dog, and probably even a Siamese cat. Anybody who says that the purpose of language is to communicate ought to take note that Adam had no one to talk to. There was no Eve at the time of that event. God gave to Adam, the first man, the gift of language and the gift of speech, not primarily for the purpose of communication, which is a secondary purpose, but for the purpose of giving glory to God. And so when we use our language, no matter what it might be, to give glory to God, we have the opportunity to pray. As Adam named each of those animals, he gave glory to God because he saw in that creation God's handiwork. He said, "I can see what you have done, and I give you glory through the gift of language that you gave me." So, every time then we use the gift of language that God has given us, we have an opportunity to pray. And indeed, we ought to use the gift of language to give prayer to God. Now, what is really the first communication that we read in the book of Genesis? It is a misuse of language. It is the serpent being deceptive with Eve, and then Eve convincing her husband, Adam, to join in the deception. So, since this is such a common thing, it would seem to me that if we were to reduce the misuse of language, at least in a neutral way, we would be increasing the positive use of language. And so I've listed the three D's of the misuse of language that we all like to engage in, every one of us. The first is we use language to delude, primarily to delude ourselves. The great delusion in vogue today is that we don't sin. I might sin, or he might sin, but I don't. My body might sin, but I don't. That type of thing. And that isn't a delusion. That is a lie that we tell ourselves. Because if we believe that we don't sin, if we believe that at the bottom of our hearts, or that we are not inheritors of original sin, if we're very young, we have to then believe that Jesus did not die on the cross for us, because he died on the cross for sinners, not for those who don't sin. St. John writes in his epistles that if a person claims that he loves God and doesn't love his neighbor, he is a liar. Likewise, if a man claims that he doesn't sin, he is a liar. He is delusional. Then we move to the second D of the misuse of language, and that is the deception of others. For one reason or another, we like to deceive others, whether it is through simply little lies to get us out of difficulties, if it is because we are trying to defraud, if it be for any reason, we like to use deception. And we shouldn't do that. And then we could move to the third D of the misuse of language, and detraction. You know, where you tear somebody else down. You know, she looks like she's very pious, but I know the truth, and I'm only going to tell you, keep it a secret. We all know what detraction is. Or, he says he's a 3-handicap golfer when he really is a 10. That type of thing. That's detraction. When we destroy another person's reputation for the purpose of building up our own. Now, if we could reduce our misuse of language, do you see how that leaves the opportunity open for us to properly use language? To use language to listen to God and to give praise for God. In fact, during the ritual of the Mass, which continues in a moment, we will be properly using language to give praise and thanksgiving to God, which is prayer. I want to now move to another aspect of Revelation, and that is the beginning of the Gospel of St. John. The beginning of the Gospel of St. John, if you can recall from the extraordinary form of the Mass, is read at Holy Mass about 363 days out of the year. The other 2 days, another Gospel is sometimes read. And that reminds us at Holy Mass in the last Gospel reading that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Remember that? And the Word, of course, is not the King James Version of the Bible. The Word is God the Son. That's a Greek philosophical term, God the Word, which we now, in current theology, generally call God the Son. God spoke the Word, as we say in our creed, and God the Son came into being. He was begotten. And God continues to speak the Word through God the Son to create you and to create me and to teach us how to pray. So when we listen to God the Word speaking, when we listen to God the Son, Jesus Christ, speaking to us, and we correctly understand the language, we are then using language in a good way. We are listening to the Word of God. And then when we go out and we share that with others, we participate in the proclamation of God. Now, isn't that better than saying that we should just pray persistently and figure out a way to say it for 7 or 8 minutes? I think it is, because I think we have this wonderful opportunity to take this great gift of God and to turn it persistently and continually into the use for which he intended it.